Hello and welcome to Call Center Tools, your show for all things call center. This is episode 5 for April 28th, 2006. My name is Rob, and as always, I'm joined in the studio today by Rick.
Hi, thanks for having me.
In case you missed last week's show, we talked about call etiquette and some call handling procedures. We had Wayne on, an award-winning call center tech. Went over some different situations that he's been in before. Went over some different call handling type things he's been in before. So if you missed it, it was a great show. Go back and check it out. In last week's show, we promised that this week we'd be talking about reviews and feedback. We're actually going to divert from that, and we're going to go over some of the questions we've been getting, some of the feedback we've been getting to our email box.
That's right, Rob. The email just keeps pouring in. We make every effort to respond to each email, but we thought some of the questions we received were just so good, we had to address them on the air.
All right, and we do appreciate all your feedback, so we're going to get started on the questions. We have 9 or 10 questions here that Rick and I went through to pick for the show. We'll get to as many as we can, depending on time. The first is from Andrew in Seattle. It says, Rick and Rob, what do you do about a person who has great technical skills but no people skills? This person can solve almost any problem coming in but gets horrible reviews. So I'm guessing that this person is like a guru on whatever it is that they're supporting, but they have none of that people skill, none of that soft skill.
What I like to do, or what I could do with this person like this, is just kind of make them a technical resource.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they're a level 2, maybe they become a subject matter expert that everybody else can consult with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily want to lose somebody if they have that technical skill. Maybe we can go back, teach them, spend a little bit of time with them on the people handling part of it. We don't necessarily have to throw them on the phone right away if they're not ready for it yet. But I would generally bring that person on, work them into it, take advantage of their technical skills,
mm-hmm.
and introduce them to the environment.
Okay, good. Good, let's move on. And the next email is from Les in New York, New York. Les writes, bring back Wayne. I hope he stays on as a regular. So I'm
well, Wayne signed on as himself.
I'm guessing Wayne has family in New York, New York. Thanks for that feedback, Les. We'll pass it on to Wayne, and we do plan on having him back for other shows. Our next question is from, let's see, what do we got here? Allison, and Allison doesn't say where she's from. Allison says, what do you guys think about agents using non-work tools to fix problems? In our help desk, people are setting up end users with VNC to remote in and Firefox to get rid of spyware problems. What policies have you seen in place for these types of things? Rick?
This is a tough one. This is a real tough one. It's going to depend on the relationship you have with the client.
Mm-hmm.
Some clients don't want you messing with their image at all.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't come on the image, don't install it.
Mm-hmm.
Some clients give you a little bit of leeway. When I worked on personally, we used to install spyware. Install Adware.
What a great feature.
Install programs like Adware and SpyBot to remove that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And we would go ahead and put in the Firefoxes.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that would solve the problem.
Okay.
So,
as long as it was something that didn't need a license, right?
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
In my mind, it's going to come down to the relationship you have with the client,
mm-hmm.
what kind of environment you're in,
mm-hmm.
what the agreement specifies. You know, I really don't have a yes or no answer on that.
Okay. Let me throw my 2 cents in. Where she writes, Firefox, get rid of spyware problems. As you know, Rick, I'm a huge Firefox fan. In fact, if you go on our blog, you can find a link to download Firefox. Those of you who aren't using it, I highly recommend you do. It's got a lot more features than IE, and it's very, very spyware resistant.
And no, we're not being paid by Firefox to say that. Sounds like an infomercial here.
This message courtesy of Firefox.com. Okay, next we have one from Sherry in Kansas City. I'm sorry if I mangled your name. I work in an outbound call center. While I enjoy the show, it seems like you are focusing more on inbound call centers. Any thoughts to address outbound in the future? I'll take this one. I think that over the years of experience that Rick and I have, definitely more of our experience is in an inbound call center. And we like to stay on topics that we feel we can be subject matter experts at. I don't want to go trying to give advice on something that I don't know too much about. And
right.
I don't know too much about an outbound call center. Now, a lot of these different shows that we have about training, recruiting, I think those can apply anywhere. If we're going to have a whole show about outbound call centers, probably not in the near future unless we can find somebody to bring in like we did
for Wayne. If there's an interest out there,
mm-hmm.
get your email requests in. We'll find that. We'll get ourselves a subject matter expert on it. We'll definitely host a show if the interest is there to have a show.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to this one. Russ in South Haven, Michigan. First of all, you guys are great. Thanks, Russ. My question is regarding the call handling process. In my call center, we are instructed to escalate the call as soon as it reaches the 15-minute mark if we haven't resolved it by then. I always thought this was a bit premature, as sometimes I know what to do, but it just takes a while. What is your opinion?
I like this question here. This is a good one.
Good question, Russ.
Yeah. In my opinion, I don't like to have the hard, set hard, fast, okay, it reached 15 minutes, disconnect the call. Mm-hmm. But I like to go by guidelines. Me as a supervisor, if I see somebody on a call, let's say for 15, 20 minutes, mm-hmm. I'll say, hey, how's it going? Is everything okay? Just kind of know that I'm there. I'm available if they have any questions. Again, at the 20, 25 minute mark, if it starts to get to that half hour mark, and this is where it's one of two things. One, they know what they're doing, mm-hmm. then I'll let them finish off the call.
Okay.
Two, if they're still fishing around, they don't really know, they don't have an idea, then I'll say, okay, let's wrap it up and let's get this escalated. And you can escalate to, you know, if you have a second or third level, you have a SPOC to go to.
What's a SPOC?
Single point of contact, okay. Maybe get it.
Live long and prosper now.
Yeah, but I mean that's my rule. Let's use it as a guideline. Mm-hmm. If you know what you're doing, continue on. If you don't, move on to something else. We probably have other callers on the line we need to get to. We don't want to spend too much time following around with something. And heck, if we don't know it at 30 minutes, you know, it's probably not magically going to come to you.
You're not going to know it at 60. Yeah. I agree with that totally. So hopefully that answered your question, Russ. Let's see what else we got. Philip in Salt Lake City. Philip says, thanks for the show. I really enjoy it. You're welcome, Philip.
Thanks, Philip.
In your show about recruiting, you talked about a typical recruiting process for you. What about the people you don't hire? Do you call them back or do you leave that to HR? We interview a lot of people here and hire about 20% of them. So we are constantly getting calls asking about status, etc. How do you guys handle this? I'll go ahead and take this one. Well, Phil, let me tell you what I think. I believe my job as a call center manager is to manage the call center, manage the techs, make sure I get the right techs. Now, that doesn't mean I'm HR. I recruit the right techs. I interview the right techs. If they want to follow up and see if they got the job, I tell the secretary to refer them to HR. In fact, when the interview is over, one of the last things I tell people, this is a good question. I really should have addressed this in that first show. When the interview is over, the last thing I tell them is I say, if you have any questions, please feel free to call HR and ask. And I give them the number to HR and I tell them, I give them a deadline. I say, you know, I can't promise we're going to hire you, but you will know either way by next Friday. By next Friday, you'll know if you're hired or not. And when I do the hiring process, I make sure HR does know to get these guys. Some people, you know, get a little antsy and they want to know before. And so, like I said, at the end of the interview, I've given them that number. Call HR at this number. If anybody calls the front desk, my secretary is pretty good about knowing who is official and who's not. If anybody calls the front desk and they, you know, they want to know about the resume, about the interview or anything, she says, hold on. She transfers them right over to HR and they take care of it.
You know what HR does? Do they send them a letter? Do they call them?
I really don't know from that.
I've been in a situation a few times where I've had interviewers call me, mm-hmm. and I tell you, it's kind of a tough situation sometimes to tell them, no, you didn't get the job.
Yeah.
My advice, be honest with them, and you can say it in a nice way. You know, no, we've decided to go with somebody else for the job.
Yeah.
I appreciate you applying. Feel free to apply again in the future. Mm-hmm. Just be honest with them. Yeah. Don't lead them on. Don't.
Absolutely.
You know, just go ahead. Get to the point as nice as possible. Try to get them off the phone as soon as possible, but be honest with them.
Absolutely. You know, we've all been on the other side of the fence, too, where we're the ones who went for an interview and we're waiting for a job, you know, waiting to hear back either way. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, I do want them to go to HR because I don't have a lot of time. If I'm interviewing 40 people, I'm going to hire 10. I don't want to be on the phone with the other 30. I have other things to do. But if they do get through or they stop by the office, absolutely, like you said, you know, if they were good enough to get through that phone screening, like we talked about in that recruiting one, they may be somebody we want in the future. So I definitely don't want to burn any bridges.
Right.
So good question. What's our time look like? 10 minutes. Let's do two or three more.
Sure.
Okay. Look here. Isaac from Canyon, Ohio. Never heard of Canyon, Ohio. One of my biggest problems is career pathing and progression. I know that my best techs don't necessarily make good supervisors, but I don't want to lose them either. I struggle to find things to keep my people happy after they have mastered the call environment we are in. Any suggestions? This is a good one. This is actually going to we're going to have a whole podcast on retention, and this is a good one. This is for those people who are really good techs, but they probably don't have the supervisor skills. What are we going to do? So, Rick, you want to take this?
My advice: find something else for them to do. Give them some project work. Mm-hmm. Give them other tasks to do. Mm-hmm. Kind of slowly work them into a supervisor role. Give them some of the duties of a supervisor. See how they handle it. See how they respond. Hopefully, there are other jobs within your company that they can move on to. But you know, like you said, this is a real tough one. We have a whole show dedicated just to this topic.
Yeah, we do. There's a lot of different things that you can do with people who may be subject matter experts but not supervisor material. You can go different ways with it. You can try to develop them into supervisors, or you can try to make them a level 2, level 3 person. But yeah, we do have a whole show because this is a huge topic. Retention is probably one of our biggest hurdles in a help desk or call center environment today.
You know, let's look at the next question here. Is a nice lead into that.
Which one's that? Is it from Jim?
From Jim here.
Now, I'm not sure if this is Jim Powell from California or Jim from Powell, California. Jim writes, "Many people I hire only look at this job as a stepping stone to something bigger. Everyone knows help desk work is entry level into an IT career, but how do you keep a handle on staff turnover and recruitment and training costs?" Yeah, it does have a lot of the same type thing.
Well, people want these call center jobs, put it on a resume,
right?
And go out and look for other things.
So. Right.
Again, that'll be involved in our retention episode. But good questions.
How do you keep a handle on staff turnover and recruitment and training costs?
Also, I think that's where it's important to have some kind of knowledge management system in place.
Yeah, another show.
So yeah, another future show.
Yeah. So Jim, I think you got kind of wrapped up into Isaac's question there. This is gonna be our last one that we're gonna do. All right.
Okay.
What is the proper role of a supervisor? Are they just a super / senior technician? Or should they be some kind of a specialist, and then they have such as quality assurance? My boss and I disagree, and I would like your opinion.
I wonder what the boss and them disagree on.
And that doesn't say who that's from or where they're from. But what's the proper role of a supervisor? I think a supervisor should be a little bit of everything, because by the time they're at a supervisor level, I do believe that they're, you know, it's a natural progression. You want to be a tech supervisor, and your next thing you should be training for is manager. A manager should know, they shouldn't be a subject matter expert in every field, but they should be a jack of all trades. They should be able to do a little bit of everything is what I think. Here they say, are they just a super senior tech, or should they be kind of a QA specialist? I think a supervisor should definitely be a QA person. They should definitely be able to QA the people. How else are they going to do reviews and feedback on somebody if you're not QAing them? What do you think?
I think it's important for a supervisor to know the process that is supposed to happen, but I don't necessarily think they need to know what their technicians know. You can have level 2s and level 3s to answer some of the more technical questions. Mm-hmm. Supervisor needs to know the process, but again, I think the role of a supervisor is quality assurance, it's coaching, it's mentoring, it's training. I don't think a supervisor is there to answer the higher level technical questions.
I think we're going
to
disagree here, right? Because the way you're making it sound is that a supervisor, if your supervisor is there for mentoring, training, that kind of stuff, you can hire somebody from the outside to go and supervise your people who was never a tech. And I firmly believe that my supervisors are technicians that we have groomed and trained to be that person. I think it's hard to lead somebody, to supervise somebody, if you haven't done the job.
Well, I've been in that situation quite a few times where I've walked into a desk and I've supervised it, and never having been a technician, not knowing any of the technology involved. And there's a learning curve, and it does definitely help to know.
Mm-hmm.
But you learn the process. Mm-hmm. You learn what is supposed to happen. You don't have to know by clicking X, you know, Y piece of code is going to execute.
Right.
You don't need to know anything like that. But if you need to know, I have a question on this piece of software, it goes to this person to solve, that's where I think your coaching and your mentoring as a supervisor comes in.
Yeah, I think we're going to just have to agree to disagree on that one.
Well, okay.
So that's it. Thanks for all your feedback. We do respond to all inquiries via email. Like I said, we just wanted to get a show because we have some really good questions and just highlight some of the better ones and things we might have missed. So thank you for all that. So that's it for today's show. Make sure we tune in next week when we talk about performance reviews and evaluations for real this time. Maybe we won't preempt it. So we hope you enjoyed the show, and as always, thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, we always want to hear your feedback and ideas. So email us at callcentertools@gmail.com or leave a comment on our website, thecallcenterpodcast.blogspot.com.
And until next week, this is Rick.
And this is Rob.
And we hope you have a great week.